I'm pretty sure the game-winning run last night was not a suicide squeeze. If you missed it yesterday, I was watching a lot of the Democratic convention. And then my son comes down and says, "Dad, the Twins have got a no-hitter going. Kenta Maeda was going into the I think he was going into the seventh inning at that point with a no-no." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." So go over and let's watch a little bit of this. Twins versus Milwaukee last night. Now, and I was going back and forth, and this was during the roll call and stuff like that. Okay, all right, Idaho, have a nice day. All right, we'll move on there. I don't, you know. And I will say this. Let me say this about the convention last night. Because I think the one thing that seemed to get the most blowback was Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez being the second to the Bernie Sanders nomination, which is procedure. You need to have that happen. That is part of the deal. And the DNC, the Democratic Party, asked her to do that. And so she did. So anyone this morning that was like, how could Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez do that? Well, no, she was asked to do that. She gladly did it. And I could make an argument. I think the DNC needed to do a better job of explaining the rules prior to that happening and not forcing her to have to go up on social media afterwards and have to explain, I did this because the DNC asked me to do it, and this is what you have to do during a convention. I mean, there are rules for these conventions, and you got to make sure you understand them all. So I thought that was – and I thought she had a pretty good speech. And I'll tell you what. I think that the Democratic Party definitively is moving more to the left, that this movement to the right in the post-Carter era where the feeling is, well, we have to be more like Reagan if we're going to win, is finally starting to shake off. And people are realizing, wait a minute, what about all those proposals that we used to do all the time that people used to like a lot, that is populism? Oh, well, maybe we should go back and enjoy that. So, I mean, that was the main thing I got last night. I mean, obviously, Joe Biden's our guy now because he got the nomination. But I went back to the Twins game, and if you missed it, Kenta Maeda, he got to the ninth inning. And this is no-hitters are not easy to throw, especially in the day and age where people only pitch like 50 pitches at most in a game. I mean, he was up at 100, and they got a hit on him, and that was it. That they basically they pulled him, put Rogers in. Boy, Rogers doesn't look good at all. Ended up being a tie game. That's right. We were up 3-0 in the ninth because Rogers kind of imploded again because his changeup is not changing, nor is it up. He's got some issues. I think he's, you know, but that's the fragile psyche of the closer. You know, once they start going, they go. But 3-3 in the last inning, 12th inning, I think it was 12th inning, about 11:30 last night. You had Buxton came home on what was Polanco hit a broken bat single. It wasn't supposed to be a suicide squeeze. The suicide squeeze is when you put the bunt down and you have the guy running as fast as he can from third base to hope that you can get there in time. This was the unintentional suicide squeeze. Buxton gets home, boom, they score, Twins win. So there you go. I'm glad we have some sports back, and baseball seems to understand it a little bit better than I think a lot. I think basketball's done well. Soccer did well. I just don't think that and then the hockey is up in Canada. And, I mean, the Canadians seem to be doing a much better job at controlling this than here in the United States. So I think they're fine. I still have no idea how in the world you're going to do football come in 3 weeks, 4 weeks when you start that up. That's going to be very interesting, especially when you have your first half of one team is basically got coronavirus. What do you do then? I mean, I'll be interested to see that.
Did you see this plan that the Big Ten wants to look at starting football in January?
Well, we'll have a home field advantage. you're not going to – people, we're not going to – we're just not going to play sport. It's not going to happen. It's not personal. It's not something where anyone's trying to be mean-spirited or, bah humbug or anything like that. It's just what happens when – I mean, that kid that was for Ohio State, the quarterback over at Ohio State, who's saying, well, I'm going to start a petition to force the Big Ten to let schools play if they want to. What are you going? Are you going to? I understand it. You got an NFL contract there, but are you going to spend any of your NFL money on any of the other players on the team that get really sick or their family members who might die because you wanted to play a freaking sport? For God's sakes, no. You know, I get people don't like missing out on things, but football is a very different sport than the rest of these sports. It's much more contact, and you're not going to be able to have these guys playing in protective, you know, medical gear. So I there are some things that are going to have to be sacrificed till we get coronavirus under control, and that's probably going to be one of them. Colleges. I mean, it's now you've got multiple colleges that, hey, we're smarter than everyone else. We're going to open up for classes. And immediately, we're closing for classes. We're going online only after 50 of their students got sick real quick. So, oopsie, our bad. I guess we'll start in coronavirus world. 17 COVID-19 deaths were reported by Minnesota health authorities on Wednesday, the highest single-day total since June 19th. Minnesota has now reported 1,738 deaths since the pandemic emerged in the state in March. The addition of Wednesday's 567 newly lab-confirmed infections also raised the state's case count to 66,618. I will say Minnesota is moving back down the list again. So what had happened is initially we were, you know, we are, I think, the 22nd most populous state or the 21st most populous state in the nation, which should mean just by ratios that we should be somewhere around 21 when it comes to the amount of infection, you know, and if we're doing better, then we're lower on the list. If we're doing worse, we're higher on the list. And right now we're at 25, and initially we were in the 30s, but what happened is when we started testing everyone at a much higher rate than most other states were, well, that skyrocketed our case count because, you know, they were. It's not that those people weren't sick, it's now we knew that they were sick. And so we immediately went up, and I think we got as high as 20, but slowly and surely we are moving backwards, and states like Mississippi and Missouri and Washington and Wisconsin have actually now gone ahead of us, and we're down to 25. So we're doing better than our population average says we should be, but at the same time, you know, it's this is until you're getting down to you know, single digits on new cases and maybe, maybe one person dying every 2 weeks or so, then I don't know how you can feel like we're doing anything. We're accomplishing a lot of great things. I mean, 17 dead in a single day. Hospitalizations for COVID-19 also increased 321 as of Wednesday, including 152 patients with intensive care due to breathing problems. The one-day jump in deaths and hospitalizations came in amid other positive signs the latest wave of the COVID-19 might be cresting. Minnesota is still falling short of 3 of 5 goals, but it's showing the first week-long decline since mid-June in new infections with the novel coronavirus. The rate of new cases per 100,000 people per day dipped from 12 on August 1st to 11 on August 11th. The rate had been increasing from a low of 6 per 100,000 on June 16th, but still remains above the state's goal. I have been keeping track of what happened up in Effie. Now, if you don't remember, the Effie, it was a rodeo or something sort. And this is right after they said they shouldn't do this. And they said, well, we're not going to charge admission. We're going to have you all as media covering the event. Take that, liberals. And we could care less. I could care less if you go to rodeo. I've been to rodeos myself. It is what it is. The reality is that this was more about trying to save your lives. So I've been keeping an eye on this. Itasca County, where Effie is, and if you don't know where Effie is, it's right on the border with Itasca and Couchiching County. Couchiching County is the very northern county. International Falls is there in that county. It's right up on the border of Canada. Itasca County is right below that, is right south of it. And Effie is right kind of on the border of Itasca and Couchiching County on Minnesota 1. I've been there. It's a delight. All right. So I've been keeping track of this because they had this rodeo, and my gut feeling is we're going to see a spike up there. Now, one of the problems we have is part of the zip code and the tracking of this doesn't seem to show too much up there, and there's a lot of information incomplete up there because there's just not a great medical facility, and also there are probably a lot of people who are sick who are not getting tested. But still, they've seen a 3.4% increase. 5 new cases in Itasca County. Now, Itasca County also has Grand Rapids in it, so it doesn't necessarily mean this is all attributed to the Effie situation, but three new cases this week, that's a 3.4% increase. The counties that surround Effie, Kuching, I mentioned them, they had four new cases out of 84. Once again, International Falls there, so a little bit of a larger town. Not sure how that ratio is doing. Aitkin County is bordering on Itasca County. That is four new cases this week, but they've only had 44 total cases in Aitkin County, which basically means right around 10% of the cases they've had total, they've had brand new this week. So that's a little bit discouraging. Cass County had eight new cases this week. Once again, they have had, since the beginning of this crisis, 84 total cases. So in 1 week, they've had one-tenth the amount of cases they've already had for the entire pandemic. That's not a good sign. Beltrami County, this is Bemidji's in there, so it's a little bit larger county. They have 32 new cases there, 281 total cases they've had, but 32 new cases. So, well, I think it's like around, even higher than a 10% ratio of cases. 12.9% exactly is what they've shown that to be. So there's an increase in Beltrami County, St. Louis County as well. They've had a 16% increase in cases, 96 new cases this last week. Once again, St. Louis County does include Duluth. Their numbers are much higher than the rest of the northern Minnesota, which is 696 for that county alone. But needless to say, they're seeing a spike in St. Louis County now. Keeping track of this. You conservatives, you love getting your photo op saying, show it, owning the libs, owning the libs. And then all of a sudden, you don't want any responsibility when your irresponsible actions have led to people being sick and dying. You want nothing to do with that. And I just, if we do not take this serious, I don't know what we're going to do. I did want to make sure I take a moment here. There's a woman on Twitter named Jennifer DeJarnette, I believe is how you say her name. She works for the Three Rivers Parks system. She's one of these rabid conservatives that likes to throw red meat out there. I mean, none of her political arguments make any damn sense. That kind of far right. She basically just echoes talking points. A month ago on July 19th, this is the woman that I was ripping apart because she was like, why has Governor Walz failed us? I don't have my kids' school shopping list yet. Now, once again, this is July 19th. And, hey, I like to be prepared, too. But, you're, 7 weeks ahead of school. That's, first of all, the kids' back-to-school shopping list doesn't come from the governor's office. That comes from your school district. And even if it's so, I mean, even in my kid's school district, I don't think that back-to-school shopping list was ever available until like the 10th of August. And what I said at that point to Jennifer, because, I mean, that was an idiot thing to say, and I really took her to task on that, is I said, if come August 19th, if we were out there and we didn't have back-to-school shopping lists, yeah, I would be angry then. So, to be consistent, I got one kid's school, a junior high school, that just today put out their shopping list. And I have another kid's school, a high school, where they don't have a shopping list yet. And it's the 19th of August. And I'm not going to use this. I'm not going to sit there and say, darn that Tom Emmer. Tom Emmer, why can't you get me my school shopping list? I'm not going to do that because that's stupid. Because Tom Emmer has nothing to do with my kid's school's back-to-school shopping list. What I'll say is, it's my school districts, and trust me, they've already heard from me on this. But no, I mean, I'm not going to agree with you attacking Governor Walz for your school district's malfeasance, but I will sit there and say, yeah, at this point, I'm kind of surprised you guys don't have back-to-school shopping lists ready to go. You've known that there was going to be two options here. Back-to-school or school at home. In hybrid version is a combination. So it's one of the two. So you should have had a school shopping list ready to go that accommodated both of those. And instead, there seems to be a lot of school districts that don't seem to have any idea of what they're going to ask the kids to bring into school yet. So needless to say, I'll agree with you. Now we're getting to the point where parents, if you're a school district, yeah, you got to have this list ready to go. You can't expect half the kids in the metro area or in the state to have to frantically now run to a store and get everything they can because you guys held off on this as long as you possibly could. has nothing to do with politics, has something to do with basically good policy. And I'm once again, I'm kind of shocked the school districts, knowing that this was going to be the outcome, didn't already have shopping lists in place for these kids. So I will, I'm going to be consistent. And like I said back there in July 19th, if August 19th we don't have this stuff, I'll make noise. Well, I just made noise. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Even though these are challenging times, All Energy Solar is still committed to providing you a cost-effective, environmentally friendly energy system through their zero-contact protocol. Solar remains a great value and long-term investment, but some of the incentive programs will be expiring soon. All Energy Solar can walk you through the entire process. They can evaluate your property by phone or webinar, and can even complete preliminary design work without visiting your home. So start saving on your energy bill today and visit allenergysolar.com.
I'm Rick Unger. You've heard the screamers, you've heard the shouters, the haters, the berators. Well, now it's time to listen to a real conversation, a rational conversation. Now it's time for the Rick Unger Show.
Listen to the Rick Unger Show every weekday from 5 to 7 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Stream at am950radio.com or search KTNF on the TuneIn app.
Nightingale at 26th and Lindale is open for in-person service. They have a lovely socially distanced patio and interior available for safe and thoughtful dining and drinks. Nightingale has reservations via resi.com with plenty of tables and bar spots saved for walk-up reservations. Nightingale's temporary summer hours are Sunday through Thursday from 4 to 10 p.m., Friday and Saturday 4 p.m. to midnight. Last call for full menu 30 minutes before close with curbside takeout by calling 612-354-7060. Info, menu, and updates at nightingalempls.com.
Join over 300,000 Minnesota families by choosing Warner Stelling to be your appliance specialists. Our customers have helped us be very good at selling, installing, and servicing appliances. We work hard to earn your business. Choose Warner Stelling to be your appliance specialist.
Hi, Minnesota. Governor Tim Walz here. We're in an unprecedented battle against the COVID-19 virus. The state of Minnesota is doing everything possible to keep you safe, but we need your help. We need you to stay home. Flatten the curve on COVID. Let's get through this thing together.
Minnehaha Falls Landscaping creates outdoor environments that grow beauty and support health and wellness. We provide everything needed for people and pollinators to grow healthy together in the home landscape. Contact us for landscape renovations, patios, walkways, retaining walls, butterfly gardens, rain gardens, and bee lawns. Minnehaha Falls Landscaping is a business rooted in healthy soil. We rely on soil health to beautify landscapes, restore ecosystems, and protect pollinators. We love sharing our soil secrets with everyone. Visit us at MinnehahaFallsLandscape.com.
This is Gregory Rich from Habitation Furnishing and Design and Drink in the Style. You may not realize it, but a trained, skilled interior designer cannot just beautify your space, they can functionify it as well. I don't know if that's a word, but it is a thing. So why not check out HabitationDesign.com and see if it looks like we're right for you. If it does, give us a call and let's schedule an appointment, in person or virtually, to make your home exceptional. HabitationDesign.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Well, looks like Kanye West will be on the ballot on the road to Trump's rally to Mankato. Two young men were gathered. So I want to make sure we understand. On the road outside of the Republican event, two men were gathering signatures to get rapper and Kim Kardashian husband Kanye West on the presidential ballot in Minnesota. When informed they were talking to the reformer, they scurried away saying they didn't want to get their photos taken. Republican operatives have been trying to get West on the ballot in some battleground states, likely in hopes of siphoning young and black voters away from Joe Biden. Last week, a former lawyer for the Wisconsin Republican Party who represented Trump was spotted dropping off signatures to get West on the ballot in Wisconsin. Those signatures included Mickey Mouse and Bernie Sanders, so I'm doubting that those are legitimate. While it's hard to keep track of West's movements, the intentions from moment to moment, he does appear as though he's going to wind up on the presidential ballots. NPR reported that on Tuesday, his associate submitted paperwork and signatures to get him on the ballot as an independent in Minnesota. The state requires 2,000 signatures. The ones turned in for West's campaign are currently under review. NPR reports two women wearing shirts that said, "Let the voters decide," were getting signatures at the St. Paul Farmers Market this past weekend, though hiding who the signatures were for. I actually had someone else actually say, ask me, do you know why someone would be looking for signatures to get something on the ballot without telling me who they want to get on the ballot? And I said jokingly, I wonder if it's Kanye West. Well, maybe it was. Let the Voters Decide is based in California, run, by the way, by Mark Jacoby, who I recognize that name. He's done work for the Republican Party of California. Jacoby is also a rich political history of voter registration fraud. The same company who has collected signatures of the West campaign in Ohio, West Virginia, Arkansas, according to the New York Times. Earlier this month, Lane Ruland, the lawyer who's worked for the Trump campaign, delivered signatures to the Wisconsin election office of the West campaign's behalf. Chuck Wilton, a listed convention delegate for Trump in Vermont, is also an elector with West's campaign. I mean, this is clearly being run by the Republicans. I mean, you have son-in-law Jared Kushner sitting down with Kanye West in, I think it was in Colorado, over like a week and a half ago, having a long discussion about something. When was the last time you had heard of a senior advisor for one president going out and sitting down and having coffee and chatting with another quote-unquote presidential contender? Yeah. And mind you, notice that they're not necessarily targeting, you know, Democratic states, but they're sure not going to get on all these ballots. There's going to be a lot of states. This is only about siphoning off votes. And this is where they're at, is they're hoping that, and trust me, there's going to be a lot of money all of a sudden available for Kanye West to run ads saying, you know, ignore the two old guys, vote for Kanye. And that's going to be their entire game plan. I want you, if you have a child who is thinking about doing this, I want you, because, you know, you're the parent, you know, scream in their face, "What are you doing, for God's sakes? He's not a real candidate. Do you really want another 4 years of Trump?" Can you imagine where this country would be in another 4 years of Trump? I mean, he's already, and I'll talk to Stein about this when I get him on the air, but he's already saying, "Well, I'm not going to leave office if I lose." And I mean, what I can already see, and you can already see this too, you can see that happening, and then like right before Thanksgiving, like 5 million Americans marching on Washington, D.C. 5 million, just a massive amount of people marching on Washington, D.C., and, you know, where he's talking tough, like, "I'm not going to leave office." And then he's going to come on out and say, "Isn't it funny? I own the libs. Of course I'm going to leave office. But look how angry I am. Don't overrun the barricades. I'm just joking. You liberals are so sensitive about, you know, evil dictators taking over your government." You can see it as well. Do not let your child vote for Kanye West, for God's sakes. DFL party chair Ken Martin made it clear the party thinks West is in this race purely as a spoiler. Trump doesn't think he can win with this election fair and square. He's sabotaging the post office. He's basically now running Kanye West as a spoiler candidate. And that's all you need to know. That's the brave Republican party right there. Good news. And I want to make sure this is good news. I have at times been very critical of the Mall of America. I think that for an organization that has taken as much taxpayer dollars as they have, I think their tolerance for free speech has been a massive disappointment. I think that they should allow more free speech in that place. They don't. I also think this whole thing where the mall cops were tracing and tracking Black Lives Matter protesters and stuff like that was a really ugly affair. That was really ugly. But needless to say, those problems aside, and yeah, I mean, you know, the idea of finding solace within our lives by buying crap, I'm not a big fan of that. That being said, the Mall of America is an exceptional thing we have in this town. I am flabbergasted at how many people go to that place. And right now it's running pretty low because there's not a lot of people doing traveling. But the Mall of America is something I just do not think the city of Minneapolis-St. Paul can lose the Mall of America. You have to have that there. And so it was good to hear this. The owner of the Mall of America missed another mortgage payment but has entered a forbearance agreement to hopefully avoid foreclosure. The forbearance agreement is good news. Gives Mall of America and its owners some breathing space to rebuild their finances as rent payments start to come back, said Neil Saunders, managing director of the retail division of analytics for Global Data in an email. However, it does not solve the long-term issue of a massive loan against assets, which have now reduced in value. Mall America's collective value, which was at $2.3 billion in 2014, has decreased to $1.9 billion currently. And so if we lose that as a tourist destination, I mean, you know, as much as people like to say, well, First Avenue or Valley Fair or something will, a Twins game will something, you know, no, you will never replace that. So, yeah, like I said, I've been critical. There are definitely some things they've done over there that have been critical of. I am actually I support the Mall of America 100%. I think it's a good thing. It brings in a lot of people into town. That's a lot of tourism dollars, and there's a lot of people that get jobs there. So we do not want to lose that. I think that is I'm glad that they're finding some solutions there. When we do return, Jeff Stein joins us for his regular Wednesday meeting. I do want to remind people, though, really quick, we have special programming coming up here tonight with the convention. First of all, at 4 o'clock, no Democracy Now!, no Pilots Progressive Party tonight. We are going back to the Devil's Advocate guys in Milwaukee. They're going to take us from 4 till 6 with some interviews at the, you know, with the convention going on. Of course, we'll have live convention coverage here from 8 until 10 o'clock tonight on AM 950. And then at 10 o'clock, the Devil's Advocate guys are back with interviews after today's action at the convention running till midnight. Make sure you stay with us right here on AM 950. Back with Stein in just a moment. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed. Also, the Army National Guard's education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hi, Matt McNeil from AM 950. Toyota is making the best vehicles on the market today. The Highlander, the RAV4, Camry, Sienna, all their models are sensational, designed for the driver. Once you realize which Toyota vehicle is best for you, the next step is to head over to the best Toyota dealership in Minnesota, Rudy Luther Toyota. Getting the best vehicle at the best dealership is important, and I trust them, period. Head over, tell them I told you to stop on in. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We got Jeff. Beautiful. Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert and noted author. Find his books at Next Chapter Books, also at totallyiowa.com. Iowa Business Report is his weekly show down in Iowa. And, of course, KXEL, Cedar Falls, Waterloo is where he joins us. And, Jeff, I've got to start off with two specific questions. First of all, is Kanye West going to appear on the Iowa ballot?
He is. That's been confirmed. Yes.
Okay. Lisa, who's a regular listener, says, you know, Kanye West has actually have a lot of mental problems. He needs some help. And it just is – there is something truly evil about – because you know, clearly he's getting a lot of assistance here from the Republicans. We talked about this in the last segment here. But there's something truly evil about people who will take someone who needs help because of mental issues and manipulate them and use them for their own bidding. That is some real evil stuff.
And you're surprised how.
Exactly. Welcome. Trump's America. Trump 2020. Yeah.
Okay, so here's Kanye, and he meets with Jared Kushner in Colorado as Kanye's trying to get on the ballot there.
Yes.
But they're just having a conversation about things that they may have in common and et cetera. It has nothing to do with trying to siphon votes off from the Democrats.
Who doesn't like Watermelon Sugar from Harry Styles? It's a fantastic song. That's what they're just sitting around having drinks, chatting about things like that.
See, I don't have teenagers. I don't have any kids, but I don't have teenagers, so I don't get the Harry Styles. I mean, I know who that is, but I don't get your music references.
Well, I don't know. I could be the wrong One Direction dude. Anyway, I pulled that one out of thin air. But
it was a great reference. I understand that it's not my wheelhouse, and so I was just going to peg you for listening to your daughter's music. I don't know.
Well, I think it'd sound a little more topical than a Donny Osmond reference. So the
Somebody's got to work Vegas. I'm just saying.
Have you ever heard of a senior advisor for one presidential campaign sitting down and just, you know, having a chat with the with potentially someone else running for president in August of the election year?
I am sure that this is just a matter of creating a coalition government going forward. Right? And I'm sure they're going to be reaching out to the libertarians. I'm sure next Jared Kushner will be meeting with Dr. Joe Jorgensen, who, of course, is the presidential candidate. Did you know that the libertarian vice presidential candidate has the best radio name ever?
What's that?
Spike Cohen.
Wow, that's
can't you see Spike Cohen hosting an 80s show on some station on Saturday nights?
I can see him as like a jazz drummer. Spike Cohen on the Skins over there, yeah.
That's good too. All right, yeah. All right.
I wanted to ask how you're doing down there, because I've never seen anything weather-wise like that. And we had it kind of molded. It happened up northern Minnesota. We had some strong storms that came through Minneapolis, but then it went crazy. And that storm system that went through Iowa and Illinois, that went right through your neighborhood. How are you guys all doing okay down there?
Yeah, and you're very kind to ask. We were talking last week on this program, but no one even then, 48 hours later, had appreciated the magnitude of it. This thing went for 700 miles from South Dakota into Nebraska, straight across Iowa at its peak, ending in Ohio. Cedar Rapids, 20% of the people are still without power.
Wow.
Without power.
That's the numbers I keep seeing. That's a level of destruction which really is sort of hurricane magnitude.
Oh, well, here's what they've just revised the wind. 140 mile an hour winds in southwestern Cedar Rapids.
Wow.
That would be Cat 3, Cat 4 hurricane. And we've kind of called it the hashtag Iowa hurricane, and weather nerds sometimes are saying, oh, it's not a hurricane because it was not on land. Right, we get it. But you guys in the world all know what a hurricane looks like and what damage it leaves.
Yes.
And so that's the best description of this. It was not a tornado, which is a circular – I mean a funnel that – stirs things up in a circular motion. This was a derecho, which is a term ironically created and invented by the guy who found the phenomenon 100 years ago at the University of Iowa, and it's straight line winds for more than 250 miles. And so you have destruction, and your audience will understand the geography here. U.S. Highway 30 goes across the country. Interstate 80 goes across the country. In between, you've got what, 50 miles?
Yeah.
In between Highway 30, including Ames, which did not – where you used to live, which didn't have power for a day and a half. Between Highway 30 and Interstate 80 across the state, crops are down. You've got almost half the corn crop laying flat on the ground. Don't know how much of that can be harvested. You had tens of thousands of people I mean, at one point, we had 500,000 people in the state without power. And here you are 10 days later, and 20,000 people in a town of 150,000 still don't have power. Marshalltown, the same way. They had a tornado 2 years ago. And it's worse because the tornado was localized. This was the entire town. So it's really staggering, the crop loss, the building damage, and the tree loss. It just, again, 100-mile-an-hour winds for 15 to 18 minutes sustained during a driving rain. So it's been tough for a lot of people down here. Where I'm sitting, it all happened just south of where I am. But if that would have come up 15 miles, yeah, it's been bad.
Here's where I'm going to bring in a political element of this. Barack Obama would have already been there touring the damage directly. George W. Bush would have already been there touring the damage directly. So would have Clinton, H.W. Bush, Reagan. They would have all made the trip. When you have that kind of destruction, that's kind of what the president does. They go down there and they survey it. Trump had not come down there. He came down yesterday for a campaign event, begrudgingly signed some state aid, some basically for government aid and hauling away brush, the personal federal aid he has not signed, and he quickly left town because he had to get to another rally. Iowa is in play again this year. I can't imagine this is going over the complete. Oh, by the way, yeah, I saw you guys had a tough time here. I'll sign one third of what you guys need into effect, but the rest of it's on you. Jeff, did we lose Jeff? Did we lose Jeff there?
Oh, here I am.
There you go.
I'm right. I went nowhere.
Okay.
No. What happened was I said I'm going to correct you on a couple of things, and apparently you couldn't hear me. See, okay. I think it's on purpose. Here's what happened. The leaders of Cedar Rapids initially did not understand the severity of things, and they did not even have a news conference for their own citizens until 72 to 96 hours after the fact. So the local folks have completely dropped the ball on this. They finally requested help from the National Guard, and things started happening. And that's why the governor submitted the disaster declaration request on Sunday. It was approved in part Monday, but there was data that was incomplete. And that was the data that they needed from the local officials about the personal, the help for citizens as opposed to infrastructure. Yes, Trump did land at the airport as an add-on to a stop that was going to be made in Phoenix. Now, he has received criticism for not touring damage, and the officials on the ground said it wasn't something we wanted to do because we wanted to get power back to people sooner. Now, is that okay? I mean, the local officials are not Republicans, okay?
Well, but the same time, this is sounding very similar to a Democratic primary we didn't have where, I mean, it was an absolute chaos. There was a lot of people pointing to the county officials. County officials are pointing at the state officials. Looking at this. And what you've got is, I mean, and yeah, the governor of Iowa has taken some heat. We've seen that up here in Minnesota where, you know, why is it taking you so long? I mean, it's clear a major disaster happened here. If you can't, if you're not able to get them on the phone, fine. Get in a car and send some people over there and tell us what's going on and get back to us tonight.
Well, the governor was in the city the day after it happened.
Okay.
And herself toured things. And literally the Cedar Rapids officials are the ones who said we didn't think it was necessary for the National Guard. And then the mayor came out and said, well, I don't know what it is that they exactly do. And again, you're the mayor of the second largest city in the state. And you guys don't – you've had record flooding. How is it that nobody has a piece of paper to know? And again, this is where I agree with you that when the governor's in town touring things, you should do more than say – any governor. I'm not picking anyone in particular. You should do more than say, you guys need anything? No? Mm-hmm. Okay. You need to say, no, wait. Let me explain to you. I've done this before. You guys are apparently new. This is what the National Guard does. Mm-hmm. It helps move big, heavy trees off power lines, et cetera, et cetera. Now, here's one thing that was very political. Not surprising, but very political. The president comes, spends an hour in Iowa at a hangar at the airport and does a roundtable. The U.S. representative who lives in that city and had no power is a Democrat running for re-election and was not invited to the meeting, but – her opponent, who's a Republican and a state representative, was invited to the meeting. Now, would that have happened in other administrations? Beats me. No idea.
Probably not.
The optics were horrible, right? Mm-hmm. The optics are horrible. You're in a very blue city. And why go there, in other words? But no, you've got city council members complaining about how the city government has been. I mean, that's been a train wreck. The problems in other areas are bad because of the scope of the devastation, not because of the lack of support. And so this is going to be something that, I mean, truly, you hit upon something that the people in Cedar Rapids are looking at their government saying, why did you not perform? Now, who's going to bear the brunt of that? That's the great question. Now, the problem is you've got the president on whatever day, Monday maybe, whenever he signed it. He says, yep, I signed Iowa, record time. But he left out the part that he didn't include all of it.
No, in the larger portion of it, the personal aid was he left off.
So then he comes to town the next day, and the mayor says, we really could use this. And he says, okay, give me the other data. I promise you'll have it. All right, anybody going to, you know, hold him to that? I don't know. I mean, it's maddening because of the fact that you've got human beings who – now the city is saying, well, you know, we had to close some of the shelters. We didn't need them. No, you didn't open a shelter for 5 days. People already found other arrangements. It was a loss of morale.
You cannot look at this and not say – this is not a problem. We never – I mean, when you had massive hurricanes like that have hit the country, that's one thing.
Yes.
But when you have stuff like this, I don't care the administration before this. This was never – there always seemed to be within 3 days a plan in action, government aid, stuff like this. The fact that this is such a mess – and I can understand what you're saying. Oh, well, there's some Democratic guys here that are like this. This is just – if this isn't a synopsis of the Trump – you know, the years of Trump, that what we used to take for granted, that a basic function of government, whether it's local, state, federal, is emergency relief when a natural disaster hits, and we can't even get that done with any kind of urgency or quickness.
No, and I don't want to leave the impression that I was suggesting that it's because it's a blue city. That thing, you know, I'm not equating Cedar Rapids, Iowa with Portland or Seattle or Chicago or that kind of argument. Not doing that. What I am saying is that when the president came, he didn't invite any Democrats other than the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly didn't invite somebody on the ballot. And again, that optic was very bad. I will concur. We are so polarized that the very simple things are not functioning. This is a city that had two record floods in 8 years. Mm-hmm. That devastated the downtown, and they had no plan of how to communicate. Well, the power was out. Okay, the power's out. Mm-hmm. You know, we have generators. Get information out.
They're literally doing
a news briefing right now that I'm recording in the other room where they're, you know, patting themselves on the back for getting food to people 6 days after the incident.
Oof.
And that's why, I mean, there is a complete breakdown of communication between various entities. That is indisputable. And who's going to bear the blame for that? Arguably, it's going to be incumbents. It's going to be people who fall out of favor with the whole system. That's not a cool thing.
But I'm going to take something you've always said. It's always the top of the ticket. And at the end of the day, I think that there's going to be a lot of pushback. I mean, my guess would be is in Iowa or in California where they got wildfires or in Puerto Rico or where they've had that hurricane. There's generally it's not, you know, the local leaders do come under some trouble here. But this lack of being able to take care of American citizens, people, I think, are looking, especially with coronavirus as well, we're looking at Trump. It's Trump's fault. And his administration, his lack of leadership is so, you know, as Michelle Obama said the other day, she said, this is not a job you grow into. This is a job that exposes you for the person that you are. And it is what it is. And I mean, that's what we're seeing right now is that this guy just does not have the capability to care for American citizens.
Well, let's take this a little broader and not make it directly on him. I'm not questioning the point. Okay, but I'm making this a little broader. If his claim to fame was to build an organization, where's the organization of the government? Where is the, you know, talking about, well, the post office is so badly managed, we need to have efficiency. Okay. Where's the efficiency plan?
Yeah.
You know, so again, it's a matter of saying, how many different people have we gone through? I mean, the FEMA director has experience, but he's been in the job since what, January? You know, you've got all of these different transitional people as acting this and acting that. Look what happened at Homeland Security, where the GAO says, you guys don't have authority to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, where's this great organizational leadership, let's treat government like a business stuff? I don't see it.
Well, and you know, just look at it with the whole thing with his trying to do the end around on the, you know, extension of coronavirus. It's so poorly thought through. It's not, you know, no one's taking advantage of it because everyone realizes it's a mess and no one at the White House is answering questions when states or people call up and saying, what do you want us to do here? He just did it and ran out the door. And, you know, there is definitely a lack of vacuum at the top. Let's put it that way.
Well, let me go. And I know you got a break, but let me go a little broader on where really there could have been where the administration could have owned this. And it's not with Trump, because you and I both know a presidential visit into a disaster area is tricky, and Cedar Rapids didn't need that. Okay, first, don't go to Cedar Rapids. Well, the problem is that's the only, you know, other than Des Moines, where you're going to fly the plane. But here's the thing. Pence was in Iowa last Thursday. Storm was Monday afternoon. Pence was in Iowa for campaign appearances Thursday. And he met with five people who were affected and looked at pictures of flattened corn. You didn't have to drive far to do that in person. Instead, it was at the runway of the airport.
Yeah.
If Pence does this better than Trump, I think you have to concede, right? In terms of emoting sincerity and empathy. You may not believe it's genuine, but he does better at it. Okay. All he had to do was drive 10 miles to Ankeny between Des Moines and Ames, stand in a field with people, and relay the thoughts to Washington, et cetera. Instead, he's standing there in a sport coat looking at somebody's HP LaserJet photo printout and nodding sagely as he then goes to a campaign event at the state fairgrounds during what would have been the Iowa State Fair, canceled because of COVID, and offhandedly says, yeah, this area's a lot busier most years.
I'll tell you what, we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll touch on the Democratic Convention. Jeff Stein joining us, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
You waited and now you save. Zero Res and AM 950 are partnering for an end of summer carpet cleaning sale. This month you can get 3 rooms of carpet Zero Res clean for just $119. Their patented powered water will clean the toughest messes and won't leave behind any of those smelly stains. Plus, keep the air in your home fresh by taking $50 off your air duct cleaning. But you have to mention AM 950 when you call to get these big savings. That's 952-0-RES or ZeroResMinnesota.com.
Hi, this is Laura. Listen to Food Freedom Radio every Saturday at 8 a.m. or anytime via podcast. Our individual health is connected to the health of each other, and connected to the health of the earth. We know the problems with the dominant food system, climate change, deadening soils, nitrates in the water, factory farming, injustice, concentration of wealth. How do we both as individuals and as a community step up and support a living food system which honors the earth? Tune to Food Freedom Radio every Saturday at 8 a.m. and remember to support your independent farmers.
Is your remote workforce putting your company at risk? Cyber criminals are targeting your employees with COVID-19 inspired emails and attacking businesses like yours. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rimark. Rimark has the tools and expertise to enable your employees to work securely from home. If you need help getting your staff to work remotely and securely, call 651-328-8900 or go to RimarkIT.com. That's 651-328-8900 or RimarkIT.com.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Matt McNeil Show, Jeff Stein joining us. Jeff, the Democratic convention, the virtual, I will say this about a virtual convention. It seems to go, I understand they like the pomp and circumstance, but once they ironed out a few of the troubles there, this is going, I mean, it goes pretty well. They've edited it down pretty good, and it seems to move with some speed.
Well, it's a made-for-TV event or a made-for-your-cell-phone event, mm-hmm. and that's much better than a bunch of people with funny hats dancing around unpredictably. So, I mean, again, you get to the point that the major television networks, broadcast networks, and this year now even cable are only showing an hour. And so everything always got pushed into that hour. Okay, it's a TV show. Let's just accept that that's the way we're doing things now because that's much better than the other stuff.
I will say so far the Democratic convention, I've been very impressed with it. Michelle Obama, probably the high water mark. That speech was spectacular. I will also say Bernie Sanders' speech was quite good. I love that line about, you know, Nero fiddles while Rome burns, Trump golfs, was a very good line. The last night was just more, you know, kind of the – I mean, Jill Biden got her speech on in, but it was more about getting the nomination done. Some people giving some blowback to AOC. Overall, what's your thoughts so far on the 2 days we've seen?
I don't understand why everybody's upset that she got 60 seconds. I don't understand why everybody's upset that she seconded Bernie's nomination. It's called the protocol.
Yeah, she was asked to do it by the DNC.
I mean, so that part is stupid. Now, did they want to put her on national display for more than 60 seconds in the fear that the Republicans would then use that and say, see, this is the future of the party? I don't know that part of it. You know, I mean, why would they do that kind of thing? I don't hear her complaining about getting 60 seconds. The idea is so that you see all of these failed Republicans come over to the other side. That's the difference of it. You don't want the people who you know are in the camp to be taking up precious airtime. I'm not bothered by that at all.
She was a little – it sounded like she was a little bothered by it. But overall, I mean, it's been good. Kamala tonight, it's a historic moment for sure. First African-American woman to be on as the VP here. I expect much on that speech. Where are you going to go there?
I hope she can come across better than she does one-on-one with supporters. We'll see.
Well, Jeff, you're cutting out. Apparently, you can't say anything nice about Kamala Harris. So that's on you down there in Iowa. Jeff Stein, once again, books it, next chapter books, and of course, totallyiowa.com. We're back tomorrow. Till then, see ya.